Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, pull up a chair and put down your chips. It's time for Tabletop Roulette. Today's game is... Masks, A New Generation, a superhero tabletop role-playing game full of action, youthful angst, and dazzling bravery. You can call me Andy because that's my name, I use he, him pronouns, and I will be your GM.
Howdy, hello! This is Rolando Garcia, I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Axel, the Bull. You can find me online on Twitter as Jalapeno Supreme.
Hi, this is Eric. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Faustus, also known as Warlock, the Doomed. You can find me online at Prime Factor X01, or as a silky smooth fey on Shadows of St. Fleur, or as the delinquent Quint on Otherwhere.
Hi, I'm Alice Kira. My pronouns are she, her, and fey fair, and I play Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better, the Doomed. You can find me on Twitter, Magical Girl Kira.
Hey, I'm Ara. My pronouns are currently she, her, and I play Odyssey / Nico the Nomad.
Hi, my name's Connor. I use he, him pronouns. I'm playing Cameron, or Vaporwave, the Delinquent Playbook, and you can find me on Twitter at Conador Crunch.
Hi, my name is James Malloy. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Forgefire, the Newborn. You can find me on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns or on the Protean City podcast.
I'm Lauren. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Technovore, the Transformed. You can find me on the Nerds on a Roll podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, on Twitter at DM_LSP, and you can buy the games that I write at DMLSP.itch.io.
Hi, my name is Jeremy. My pronouns are he, him. I'll be playing Strix the Reformed, whose pronouns are they, them. You can find me running my own podcast on Twitter at Apex CityCast.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Haas. My pronouns are she, her, and they, them. And I play Amber, aka Paleo Girl, the Beacon. You can find me on the podcasts LGBT&D, Arcadia, California, and Breathing Space Fading Frontier. Or on Twitter at Alpaca My Books, where I advertise the dozens of other podcasts I'm on.
So, last we left off, there was a giant robot mech building that had just been punched by Technovore, I believe?
Yes, it was bringing its hand down, and I punched it.
Vaporwave and Paleo Girl were face-to-face with Bryant Baxter. Warlock and Forgefire were fighting Blitzkrieg. Axel and Odyssey were in one of the buildings with the blue bomber, and Strix and Anything You Can Do were on their way to free some child soldiers. So I want to start off with Warlock, Forgefire, and Technovore. As Technovore has punched this robot's hand and sent a shockwave up its arm. Warlock and Forgefire, dealing with Blitzkrieg, you notice the sounds of helicopters above you. There are, as we look up into the sky, there is like a fleet of military helicopters coming in, and they are dropping both Aegis soldiers and small mechs. My touchstone for the size of these mechs is like the Magitek armor from Final Fantasy VI, if anybody's familiar with that. They are being deployed to put you down. What are the two of you going to be doing? Or rather, what are the two of you doing?
I was just saying, I just had my speech with Blitzkrieg, and I'm waiting to see if there are any effects to it.
I believe Also, that one of the effects was that I had turned on Blitzkrieg.
You had. I think that's a good place to start off. What's Forgefire's reaction to that?
I forget. Did I actually attack him at the end of the last episode or not?
I don't think you had.
I don't think I had. So I think that Forgefire, I think I had just put myself, if I hadn't before, I am now going to put myself between Blitzkrieg and this wizardy stranger, Warlock. And facing Blitzkrieg, say, I feel like we have been misinformed, or there is information that we do not know. I know that a hero must never hesitate, but under these circumstances, it seems that there is more than sufficient evidence that Baxter, in that giant building robot, is doing evil. And if that is true, then you must stop what you are doing now and help me defeat him.
I think he looks at you and says, I don't know what you think you know, kid, but Baxter's on the side of good. He's trying to protect you from people like this. Gesturing at Warlock as he says that.
This Warlock has at worst trespassed, which is not evil.
Technically, I was brought here.
Didn't even trespass. I have not seen any evidence that they are evil.
All right, if you want to go throwing your cushy shell job away for people you just met, and we get a panel of, like, his feet digging into the dirt as he adopts a fighting stance, and he's ready to take you on, Forgefire.
I think that you probably get another panel of Forgefire's hands and, like, forearms glowing brighter red, and he says, I do not work for Shell. I work for the forces of justice. Shell fights alongside me, unless they do not. And I'm going to attack him.
All right. Roll to directly engage a threat for me there.
I will. I rolled a 7.
All right. Before we go too far past, let's go with rolling up some team real quick. So in terms of Technovore, Forgefire, and Warlock, you all are sort of a little mini team here. Do you all have a leader amongst the three of you?
It's tough to say, because last time I interacted with any of these people, which was just in the past maybe 10 minutes, there was almost no coordination. We all seem to be on a different page.
I'm sort of arguably taking the lead from, or I'm following Warlock, who has sort of made some compelling arguments here and has been acting rationally in a world in which a lot of other people don't seem to be.
Warlock, that's a terrible idea, but I'll take it.
Warlock is Vaporwave's friend, right? Who we were coming here to liberate. Then I'm following Warlock.
Yeah.
Yep. Then I'm following Warlock. If that's the person who I was like here to help get 100%.
Okay. Warlock, do you have influence over your two teammates?
I do not.
Quick check, would either of you like to give influence to Warlock to make that so? Because you can just freely give influence.
I would not.
No, I don't feel like that.
Valid. Warlock, what is your purpose in this fight? What you trying to accomplish here?
Honestly, I'm still pretty confused about what my goal is. I still sort of just woke up here 10 minutes ago. But I think in general, it would be to stop Baxter, whatever he's doing.
Okay, Forgefire, you agree or disagree with that goal?
My goal is to prevent evil from prevailing. I think that in this context, I am starting to come around to the belief that Baxter is doing evil here. I think he's being a little reckless with this giant building mech.
That's fair. And Technovore?
At this point, Technovore's like on the... I think he's still cognizant enough before he's lost himself to like the alien battery that just wants to consume. And so his goal is to stop this giant robot and save the people we came here to save.
All right. I'm going to say that's close enough, because you said stopping the giant robot, which would be Baxter by association. Does anybody mistrust the leader or the rest of the team?
I mistrust Forgefire.
I might mistrust Warlock. I'm not positive yet. I don't think I mistrust anyone, actually. That's
fair. Warlock, would you like to mark a condition or lose a team from the pool?
Let's lose the team. Let's keep my conditions for later.
That's very fair. And I don't think you're all that ill-prepared or off-balance. Each of you came in here expecting some sort of a fight, except for maybe Warlock. But, I mean, also, since you've been awake, shit's kind of been popping off. So, like, I think you expected to find, like, some wild stuff going on.
I came here looking for a fight. Actually, well, I came here looking for evil, which I planned to fight.
So, your team is going to start with 3 team in the pool, and that will bring us to James. You get to pick one from the directly engage a threat list here.
Yeah, I think I am going to... I want to impress, surprise, or frighten them. And really more to the impress or surprise side, I think.
All right, describe for me, what's it look like as you were fist fighting this guy?
I think it's always a little bit of a like a slow buildup. Like he... Forgefire throws a kind of throws a punch, and then it's really like the first punch is more of a it's just something to watch basically while he tries to like grapple with his other hand, because really my goal here is to sort of like make physical contact and then let the heat do its thing basically to make the person sweat. And so I think that it's like he throws a punch, he blocks a punch, he's trying to grab Blitzkrieg somewhere and ultimately like tackle him to the ground basically.
Yeah, I think you're able to do that. It's a couple of panels of the two of you, like, going back and forth. You punch him, he punches you, he comes with a kick, you're able to avoid it. It's, like, a fairly drawn-out battle before you're able to get him down to the ground. At which point, you are being surrounded by these sort of mini-mechs. And I want to ask... Technovore, what are you doing? There's a giant building that you've punched and is seemingly, at least for the moment, not doing anything. There is a small army of mechs surrounding Forgefire and Warlock. There's shell agents sort of all over the place. What you doing?
So when we left off, I had thrown a punch at that mech. Or the big mech, the big building mech. What was the result of that? Did anything come of it?
You and that mech had, like, basically punched into each other.
Gotcha.
There was, like, a shockwave that went up its arm and sort of shook the building that Paleo Girl and Vaporwave are inside of.
After having, like, clashed fists with this big mech building, which is still much bigger than Technovore, who is, like I said, right now about Hulk-sized, and I think sends that shockwave through it. It's not really doing anything at the moment, like you said. He turns to see all these mechs dropping in. And this is where I think, with all this technology and all this power around him, is where the hunger takes over. Technovore is powered by an alien battery that seems to just absorb energy and various technology and power sources, which is why he eats batteries a lot. And seeing all of these kind of jump in and start to move in around a lot of his friends or who he assumes are his friends, that sort of takes over, and Technovore like snarls. The eye goes from yellow to red, and his tongue, which is now almost venom like extends, but it is not a tongue so much as it is a bunch of cables that are twisted around each other. Again, just big cords of muscle and cable and rebar that make up his arms bursting out of the jacket that he once wore. And Technovore is just going to jump onto the nearest mech and try to rip out its power source.
All right. Go ahead. That sounds to me like you're directly engaging a threat.
Absolutely.
All right, you want to go ahead and take one from the list for me? Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm going to take something from them. The power source.
Yeah, give me a couple panels. What's that look like as you're doing that?
You described these mechs as like the Magitek armor from Final Fantasy VI, which have like a big generator slash like steam powered thing on their back. And so I think as it's moving in, Technovore just snarls, that long tongue lolling out of his mouth back and forth, dripping some sort of combination of saliva and oil. And as the big Baxter building mech like kind of staggers backwards from his punch, he leaps on this thing and tackles it to the ground. And reaches in and just rips out whatever's on the back of it, this power source, and it tosses it up in the air. His tongue catches it and slurps it down as the mech sort of like arm reaches back and punches him in the face, which is I'm not avoiding its blows. And he'll stagger backwards from that and roar. What's the power source on these things like?
I'm imagining, like you said, a pretty large sort of like, I don't think it's like specifically stated in the comic, but it looks like just sort of a giant battery pack.
As that sort of gets slurped down, he glows, like there's a glow in him that we can see as it goes down his throat, and he bulks up again a little bit, just a little bit bigger now. The jacket has completely ripped and shredded off. And he lets out just an absolutely terrifying roar. And I believe this counts as not human enough. When you directly engage a threat in a terrifying fashion, you may mark a condition to choose an additional option.
Yeah, that definitely tracks.
Inside of Technovore, there, I think, I'm trying to see if there's another thing I want to do, but I don't know if there's a condition that really actually feels appropriate. So I'm going to mark guilty, because right now Technovore is like letting that hunger take over, and going for this increase in power, this like feeding this hunger that he has in order to grow stronger. But I think there's a degree of, he knows if he lets it get out of control, he might lose sight of what the mission was, which was to get, Vaporwave's friends out. It like surges through him, and I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies, which is just Technovore goes on an absolute rampage here, and I think draws the mech's focus onto him off of Forgefire and Warlock.
All right, so I think what happens is, like, as you're doing that, you feel this power source inside of you that you have consumed. It starts like sparking, and like it basically feels like food poisoning would feel to us, to Technovore.
Not good. As
there is an explosion inside of you, like a fairly minor explosion, but you generally don't want explosions inside of you. I'm gonna need you to take a powerful blow for me.
Sounds good. I have I Am Not My Body. When you take a powerful physical blow, you may roll as if you had two fewer conditions. So, still a hit.
Okay, on a 7-9, you get to pick one from the not as bad list. Lash out verbally, give ground, or struggle past the pain, and mark two conditions.
I'm gonna lash out verbally and provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, I think.
Okay, what you doing with that?
What's Vaporwave up to?
Vaporwave is at the top of the building, about to fight Bryant Baxter.
Right. And Vaporwave, you have like a mechanical, you have like a cool helmet, right? Okay, so out of Technovore's back, like a spine, like you might see on Godzilla, shoots basically a ham radio tower, and you hear Technovore's voice in your helmet. He's not speaking on the panel. It's just coming through in your helmet. And he says, "We need to wrap this up. The hunger's coming, and Baxter needs to fall. One of your friends is safe. Move it." And I'm gonna roll to provoke him to basically, like, I guess the foolhardy action here is like, throw yourself into this fight and let's end it as quickly as possible. Does that count?
Yeah, especially with what I'm about to reveal at the top of the tower.
But I do have guilty marked, so I have a -2 to this. Do I have influence over Vaporwave? I do, so this only comes out as a -1. Hey, a hit.
Okay, so on a 7-9, do you want to use the carrot or the stick on your provoke?
Oh, this is stick, 100%.
Okay, that is our nifty transition to Vaporwave at the top of this tower, staring down Bryant Baxter. Before we get to what Vaporwave's doing, I believe that Paleo Girl requested to take a powerful blow for me.
Yeah, I did. Because she was definitely shaken by being called a failed experiment. So the pause I took in her responses is canon. That's a 9.
All right, what you picking off the list there?
You have no idea how tempted I am to just provoke Vaporwave in a different direction. But no, I think, unfortunately, I think Amber is very hide her feelings. So she's just going to, what's it called? Struggle past the pain and mark two conditions.
All right, what you marking?
Angry.
Yep, already marked it for you.
And insecure.
Valid. So Vaporwave, you were about to charge and fight Bryant Baxter when behind him on a television screen popped up a picture of, or not a picture, but a video feed of your mother in a prison cell. He smirks at you and says, I don't think you want to be doing that, Cam.
Oh, God. So I think Vaporwave. Oh, God. Okay. I'm so torn right now.
I love how you've had a week to think on this and you're still just,
I know. Like, eh. It's gotten harder the more I think about it. Okay. You know what? No. Vaporwave says, you know, I made the mistake of threatening to kill you last time. And I think he's going to. Are there windows in here?
Yeah, there's like a big bay of windows at the sort of face part of the mech.
He's going to manifest a laser baseball, I think, covered with like nails running through it, and throw that through the window, and then try to throw Bryant Baxter through the window.
What did I just fucking say in chat? Don't make me defend BB.
No, I gotta end this quickly. my team's depending on me, and I'm gonna try and throw him out the window.
Well, I need to defend because I need to find out why I'm an experiment.
Well, before we get to that, Vaporwave, let's have you directly engage a threat.
I've got influence over Bryant Baxter, so that's gonna be at a +1, right?
Yep.
That's a 12, so a full hit.
Okay, Paleo Girl. Even if you defend, that's going to bring it down to a 10. So,
yeah.
Narratively, I'll let you do it. But, like, mechanically, it's not going to really do anything. Oh, that's a good point. Do you have influence over Vaporwave? Oh, yeah. Okay, so if you burn your influence and defend, you could get
that's
it down to an 8. Would you like to do that?
Oh, I'm gonna feel really bad about this.
Do it.
But yeah. Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna roll the defend first and then yell at Cam, and that'll be burning my influence. So let me do these in that order, I guess.
What's your savior, my dad?
+1.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are a beacon.
Okay. So that's a 7. Okay. So how this plays out is, okay, so Cam grabs Bryant Baxter to throw him out the window. And I think I don't so much tackle Cam as just like shove him really fucking hard, preferably into the wall. And then, you know, like he'll kind of pull Bryant Baxter with him. And I'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I want to throw him out a window probably as much as you do, but he has your mom, and he obviously has information about me, and you're acting like a fucking idiot.
Okay, so first off, take that influence away. Secondly, Cam, that brings you down to an 8 on your directly engage a threat, so you get to pick one from the list.
Oh, boy. I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies, but not for Amber, because I'm still throwing him out that window. And I'll say to Amber, I've already broken 2 teammates out of a jail cell. I can break my mom out, too. You know what I can't do is
unmurder the people that he's killed.
Okay, so I think what happens is, rather than like have Baxter attack you, I think from Amber doing this, I'm going to ask Vaporwave to mark a condition off of this.
I think he's definitely feeling pretty hopeless right now. I think he feels like he's kind of against the wall and this is the only solution that makes sense. And he doesn't want to do it, but it's what he feels like he has to do.
All right. As Brian Baxter hits the ground and is sliding towards the open windows, I want to cut over to Strix and anything you can do, I can do better. The two of you have the living shadow trapped inside what is essentially Swords of Revealing Light. You were on your way to an elevator down to save some super soldiers. Child super soldiers, I should specify. What are the two of you doing?
I think, like, before we leave the living shadow, anything you can do, I can do better is going to be like, look, I understand this isn't going to hold you for very long, but I recommend you spend your energy evacuating this building instead of coming after us. Just a pro tip for a pro, right? And then I'll give a mocking salute before following Strix, because Strix knows where they're going, maybe. Well, no, I know where we're going. But I'll follow Strix anyways, and then I'll tear a hole through a wall so we can take a secret elevator shaft. That's what the plan was.
All right. What's Strix doing?
So after the initial confrontation, Strix had kind of booked off down the hallway, but they basically stopped as soon as they turned the corner to make sure that Alexa's not going to get in any trouble. So they're just kind of scoping out the situation from down the hallway at this point. Seems like everything's in hand.
All right. Living Shadow is currently trapped. I have ideas for what he's doing, but I don't think we see it on the page just yet. So I'll leave it up to you all. Alexa, what's it look like as you take this secret elevator down to the child soldiers?
It looks like Alexa either grabbing something in the hallway or maybe just punching a big hole in the wall, revealing the shaft that's behind it. And turning to Strix like, so just because you have no powers, right?
What are powers, really?
The ability to jump down a 13-story elevator shaft and not get hurt.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. And then she'll jump down the elevator shaft because Strix doesn't need my help getting down.
Now, Strix has a handy collapsible quarterstaff with a hook on one side that hooks around one of those elevator cables and then just slides on down.
Okay, Strix, I'm going to need you to unleash your powers, though. That doesn't sound exactly easy.
No, but it's a superhero thing. Okay.
You can do it, Strix.
I am hopeless, so... Yeah, it's a 7.
Okay, you can either mark a condition or the effect will be unstable or temporary.
I'm gonna mark insecure because Alexa is now questioning my superheroism. I feel a little insecure about this. Like, obviously you've got cool superpowers and I'm just highly competent, but you know.
Look, we can't all be perfect. Only I can be perfect.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
And it's literally killing me, so.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Yeah.
As you all come into this sort of lab level, you find yourselves in a very tropey sort of area. It's a long chrome metallic hallway. There are like large floor-to-ceiling tubes on each side of the hall filled with various color liquids. And inside each of these tubes is a teenager. They have like the sort of rebreather masks on and look to be floating in stasis. At the end of this hallway, at the very far end, there is a sort of central tube in like the middle of the floor. And inside of that clear liquid, Landon, do you want to tell us who they see?
You see somebody who looks to be about 17 years old, probably wearing a charcoal bodysuit, shaggy brown hair, very androgynous appearance. I'm assuming eyes are closed right now, so that's about all you got.
Cool.
Yeah, what are y'all doing?
So, just because it's late at night and I've been doing math all day, how many people are down here? Just the one?
There's the one in the central tube. Like, if you've got a long hallway in front of you, the walls are made out of tubes with people in them. And then there's one person that their tube is sort of in the middle of the floor, with wires and, like, electrical cables and sci-fi doodads coming out of that and towards all the other tubes.
Does it look like there's, like, a central control panel or anything like that?
You want to assess the situation for me?
Sure. I can maybe do that.
That's a thing you're good at, I think.
Yeah, it's an 8.
Okay, I think you get one question from the list off of an 8.
I do. What here can I use to release these kids from these tubes?
Yeah, each of the tubes has sort of like a small screen about the size of an iPad that's sort of attached to the front of it. You feel like you could use those to open each of the tubes individually. There's also a large, like, control panel-looking computer at the far end, past the tube with the person in the clear liquid, that would presumably be, like, your central control.
Okay. Yeah, Strix is making a beeline straight for that one.
All right. What's going on with Alexa's as Strix is making their way downtown?
Yeah, Alexa's going to follow and be like, okay, so here's the thing. I kind of came here for computer data and then smashing shit up. So if you could, like, steal the hard drive or something. I'm not a tech person, so I don't know.
You know, I had intended just to crash the whole system. But if you want something intact, we could probably make that happen.
Yeah, I just need any files on Alexa Baxter.
No, Alexa Baxter. Wow, you're looking after one of Baxter's what? What is it, like a relationship?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, sure. Well, we can maybe poke around if we got time.
All right. Well, how about you do that, and I'll poke these pads and get these people out of here.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to poke an iPad until it releases the person from the tube.
Okay, quick check. Are you, like, strategically doing this, or are you just kind of, like, poking at random? Are you just smashing it?
I assume there's menu options.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the menu, find the way to safely release someone from a tube, and then using my super speed, I'm going to do that to everyone.
Are you starting in any particular order, or what's this look like?
I think just dramatically we should start in the center, right? It's obviously the biggest, most important tube, so let's start with that one.
All right. You poke through the menus on this keypad and eventually find the way to release the person in this tube. You watch as the clear liquid drains out from around them, and they are lowered down to standing on their own 2 feet. There is a loud hiss as the breather separates from their face, and the locks disengage. And Landon, you come back to consciousness. How you feeling there, buddy?
Been out for about a year, right? So I'm a little pissed.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Just a little pissed. Like, if that glass thing's not coming up quick, I'm busting my way out immediately.
All right. How you do that? Is it, like, fist through the glass, foot through the glass?
So I think what anything you can do, I can do better sees is that like a bunch of blue energy just appears in this person's hand and they shove it up against the glass. And there's like a kinetic reverberation from it. That just shatters the glass, I'm assuming, if Andy will let me have that much freedom.
Go for it. Yeah, I mean, that probably, like, that just happens. I think you've got the power to just shatter the glass.
Yeah, I think from the giant control panel, Strix is like, hell yeah, get it!
Where'd you go?
Quick check-in, because Landon is new. What does Alexa look like as she stands in front of this new person?
Alexa is still wearing her full face welder's mask thing and a whatever the shell colors are bodysuit with a denim jacket and cargo shorts over that.
Ooh, are you clearly shell?
It's very clearly a shell brand uniform.
Oh no. Oh no.
This is gonna be fun.
How are you reacting there, Landon? Landon?
Yes.
How are you reacting there?
I really don't want to, but I feel like Surge's immediate reaction is going to be, oh, shell, attack.
Yes.
All right. How are you attacking?
So, Surge has energy projection. So, I think for them, it's just like, they're still, like, getting back into it. I mean, they've been in a tube for a while. But like they are far enough away that like this won't physically make contact, but they like kick out with one of their feet and like that energy wave follows it as they do it.
Yep. You want to go ahead and directly engage that threat for me?
Yeah. Let's see how that goes. That is a 10. Full hit.
Hell yeah.
Is Alexa doing anything to defend herself there?
No, I think she's caught unaware. She was not expecting this.
What two are you picking from the list there, Surge?
Well, I would definitely say I'm impressing, surprising, or frightening.
Valid.
And given the situation, I know it says technically create an opportunity for your, maybe take something from them in the sense that, like, Surge is trying to make an opening for themselves to get the fuck out.
That's fair.
But I can go with resist or avoid their blows if you, like, would rather that be the case.
No, I mean, I could see it being, like, take her ability to stop you.
Oh, that'll be difficult. I have a lot of abilities.
Yeah.
Take her ability, like, take her footing. Basically, yeah, you're going to get a...
I really only want impress, surprise, or frighten. I really don't want a second option.
Okay, I mean, you can relinquish it if you want to.
Or resist and avoid the blows.
Sure, let's just go with resist or avoid then.
Okay, so anything you can do? You want to tell me how you're, what it looks like as you're knocked back by this and take a powerful blow for me?
Sure. Let me roll that first so I can tell how bad it is. Oh, it's only a 9. That was close.
Oh, it's fine.
We'll get there. We'll get there, team.
It's fine.
I think, yeah, I get like an energy blast to the gut, which isn't fun. I'm going to mark angry and afraid. Because I think my first thought is, oh, crap, everyone in these tubes are now clearly brainwashed super soldiers who are programmed to attack upon waking.
Yeah, at that point, Strix, you still opening up all these pods?
So once anything you can do had said, hey, I'm going to let all these people out and I need you to find this information about this one specific person,
mm-hmm.
That is what Strix has been getting on. And they are, despite their high level of competency at like breaking and entering and physical espionage, they're not really big with computers. So I would like to phone a friend. As Strix has been moving over, they're through their helmet communication, getting in contact with one of their friends in low places, which is an organization specializing in insider info called Loveless. And basically what they're doing is like, hey, gonna need a favor. I will definitely owe you one. Gonna plug you into a system. I just need you to make a local mirror of all of this you can, but specifically something, anything you got about someone named Alexa Baxter. And so Strix is going to plug their helmet into that console and then just snap it off from the back and let it sit on that console whilst the rest of this is going on.
All right. So is that a thing you have to roll for? Or does that just kind of happen?
Friends in low places. When you come to them for help with my problems, I mark an obligation on them and they will help out within their specialty. So I am marking an obligation with Loveless and they're going to get me some insider info.
Yeah, I think you just hear the voice on the other side just say, yep, I'm on it.
So obviously Strix is wearing a domino mask under their helmet because mask and mask action. And then they're just going to kind of lean on the console. Hey, do you need help over there? I thought with all the superpowers, you doing all right?
At that point, I want to cut over to Odyssey and Axel. The two of you just heard from Blue Bomber that he is Brian Baxter's grandson, I believe.
We're a little farther.
Okay, what happened after that?
I believe we discussed it a little bit. We discussed some, like family ties aren't the entire thing. Like, family ties don't hold you to work for him. I took a powerful blow because he brought up my sister. He brought up my sister. And yeah, I think we just got a little further from the grandpa conversation.
All right. So I think he looks at the two of you and I want to pick up with him just once again saying, look, I just need to go and save him. You don't know what's going to happen if your friends are allowed to go through with this.
With what? Putting him in jail?
Yes. If he's not around to protect this city dies.
If you look at the giant mech here, he's not realistically the one protecting the city.
He looks at you and just, like, pushes you away. He says, I'm not gonna be able to live with myself if they take him.
Who? The police?
Your terrorist friends.
Oh, God.
Are you talking about Vaporwave and their group?
I just woke up. Odyssey, are you, like, on my side, right? I just want to make sure that's the case.
Got some shaky alliances here. Look, I've been working with B for a while now, and I, as weird as he's acting right now, I do trust him.
All right. We gotta get down there. There's a lot of enemies and they're gonna need help, but we're not trying to kill. I don't want, and you see his, like, you see Axel's hand, like, balled up in a fist and is shaking violently as he says this through gritted teeth. We're not trying to kill Brian, but he needs to go to jail. For what he did, for all the lies that he, for everything.
We'll deal with that later.
I mean, now would be, I know I've been working with you for a while, but he did have a hand in killing a teenager, and he got away with that, with no issue. There's got to be some repercussion there.
Nico, you've worked for him for all this time, and you still think that he did that?
I mean, working with him hasn't really been my choice. It was either this or jail, so
we need to get down there.
Oh, God.
Can you make a portal down there? Just to so we can help them out?
Yeah. He, like, moves his fist straight in a line and starts generating a rift.
As you two are teleporting, are you, like, you're going down to Warlock and them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, I want to cut back over to Paleo Girl and Vaporwave. Paleo Girl, Brian Baxter's sliding towards an open window that's several stories up.
I want to try and stop him from falling out of it.
All right. Would you like to roll to defend him?
Yes. I would also like to say words at Vaporwave while I do so.
Of course. What are you saying, Adam?
As Amber is going over to Bryant Baxter to try and save him, she kind of glares at Vaporwave and is like, "You didn't break anyone out of anything. You teleported us to the wrong wing. Then Strix left. Then we found your magic friend already free. Then we came here to kick his ass. And instead, you want to be a murderer just like him."
As she's saying that, how are you trying to defend him?
She's trying to grab him. Just, like, grab his leg and, I assume, like, Chompy is reluctantly helping. Not that that, like, adds anything to my role. Not that it matters, because I got a 2. But yeah, we're just trying to, like, grab him and stop him from falling out the window.
Alright, Vaporwave, as Amber's berating you, you see her grab hold of Bryant Baxter. And the two of them fall out of a window. What you doing?
Oh, God. I'm going to teleport and try to grab Amber out of the air.
All right, roll to defend someone.
Oh, boy. I am not great at defending people historically, but let's try this. I still have influence over Amber, correct?
Yes.
I thought you gave that up to decrease his role.
I burned my influence on him. He still has influence on me.
Oh, right. You're right.
Oh, that's an 8.
So, on an 8, let's do the good part first. Would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over Amber, or clear a condition?
I think, God, I want to clear a condition so much, but it doesn't make sense because all my conditions feel pretty well earned. I guess I'll just add a team to the pool.
All right. And then would you like to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation?
I'm feeling escalate the situation pretty hard right now, actually.
All right. So how is it that you go about saving Amber?
I think I would like to teleport down, grab her, and teleport the rest of the way down. So that way we're down on the ground and we don't have to worry about falling out at any more places anymore.
In that case, Vaporwave, Paleo Girl, Warlock, Forgefire, Technovore, Axel, and Odyssey, you are all reunited. That's the good news.
Oh no.
The bad news is, as Bryant Baxter falls through the air, anybody that looks up at him sees as his suit around him starts to rip and tear at the seams. His skin turns a bright shade of purple as he doubles, triples, quadruples in size. He grows like this giant mane of bright red hair, and huge tusks sprout from his face. He is basically Ganon shape as he turns and hits the ground and looks at the 7 of you with a loud growl and lets out a loud roar.
Andy?
Yep.
There's a lot of variations of Ganon, and I really need you to be more specific.
Did anybody else play the very underrated Hyrule Warriors?
I haven't played it yet. Not. I want it so bad.
Oh, God. I haven't played it, but I did just Google that.
So, yeah, that's what's staring y'all down. And I want to go back to our little underground laboratory at that point. As cool, Strix and Alexa are dealing with Surge. What's going on there?
So, last session, I gained my special favorite power, Burn, and used one of my Burn to trap Living Shadow, leaving me with 2 more. So I'm going to construct a...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm going to hold out a hand as a series of purple triangles assemble around this strange person who energy kicked me in the stomach, and use moat to trap them inside a psychic construct D20.
All right. Love it. Just as an aside, as we head into what is, I was going to say potentially PvP, but what is PvP, safety tools in effect. If anybody's not okay with anything happening, let me know and we'll rewind and redo it. How are you reacting as that happens, Serge?
I think she probably says something like, you gonna keep trying to kill me, or can we calm down?
I mean, Serge is probably going to start by just trying to energy blast the barrier, but I'm making the assumption that that's not going to work.
I mean, I might have to spend another burn if it's threatened by particularly powerful enemies. But
yeah, I'm gonna say Serge is pretty strong.
Cool. I'll spend my last burn.
Okay. I mean, I can also roll to unleash if you want me to see if that's, like, anything, but...
Yeah, go ahead. Roll to unleash. Let's see how this turns out for you.
7.
Okay, you can mark a condition, or the effect will be unstable or temporary.
I like unstable or temporary here.
So, I think what happens is... Yeah, you, Serge, you blast it, and, like, you put a pretty good chunk of your energy and effort into it. I think I'm going to go ahead and have Alexa take influence over you for not being able to break it. Does that work?
That totally works.
So, like, you blast it, Alexa's able to sort of reinforce it, and then Joe, whatever their reaction is...
Depends. Are you going to be one of those shell assholes who immediately takes me in?
Oh. It's Strix. We are here to break everyone out, right? You're not some sort of, like, double, triple secret agent, and I super failed this test, right?
Oh, no. I've done that job, but usually the other way around. No, I'm legitimately just here to fuck up Brian Baxter's whole business model.
Oh, yeah. No, we're breaking everyone out, and then I'm nuking this lab.
Urge... visibly, like, hisses when you drop Baxter's name.
Yeah, I think we should be on the same team here.
Then fine, I will not keep attacking.
A quick question, Serge, are you just going along with this, or did you want to try to pierce one of their masks?
I would like to pierce, because that's kind of what I was angling for, but I didn't know what that moment passed.
Yeah, if I ever miss a move, feel free to call it out. I know we're all GMs here, basically. So.
All right. That is the 7. Yeah. So before, I'm going to take that line back. This is for anything you can do. What are you really planning?
She's literally planning to get everyone out of the building and then nuke it.
Cool. Serge will, as much as Serge can manage, chill the fuck out.
I think Alexa's going to twist her hand and the die is going to roll with you inside it and then land so there's a 20 and it'll dissipate. Just to give a little payback for kicking me in the stomach.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Nice.
Yeah, and then she's going to turn away from you and start poking at pads to unlock other tubes.
All right. You managed to start unlocking these tubes, and various teenagers are released from their tubes. There's, like, a guy that's covered in vine, a guy that's got, like, vines for hair. There's another guy that's got, like, sort of light blue, scaly skin. Several of them are, by all accounts, fairly normal or average looking. Quick check-in, has Serge said their name yet?
Nobody has asked, and Serge did not offer.
Gotcha. Just wanted to check in. So, yeah, they stumble out of their tubes, and all of them seem equally as confused as Serge. but I don't think any of them start, like, throwing fists out of the tube just yet. Is anything you can do, like, saying anything, or how is she approaching this?
She's basically setting them to open as rapidly as possible. She's not going to wait for them all to drain and unlock and slide the tubes down. So she's not as caring and thoughtful and nice as she should be, or as I want her to be, because she's very much like, okay, let's get everyone up, and then we get everyone out, and then I'm going to convert part of this building into antimatter and let it explode.
All right. Quick check-in with Strix. Are you doing anything while you're waiting on that?
Yeah, I'm going to let Loveless run whatever they're running through the helmet. It'll beep when they're done. But in the meantime, getting people out of tubes is top priority, because especially if we're going to cause a large explosion, I don't want there to be anyone in here.
All right. What's going on with Surge as the two of them are opening up these tubes?
Well, Surge's idea of opening up the tubes would be to blast them open, which, you know, it seems like this chick who's totally not shell but wearing shell colors has it covered. So who am I to interfere? I need to find the convenient locker somewhere nearby that has my glasses in them so that I can see.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere conveniently comic book off-panel.
But Surge is not particularly helping.
Surge walks off-panel and comes back with glasses. Where'd they come from? It's not that important.
Who knows? Next panel, Surge just has all of their normal hero gear on. It's... meh.
So yeah, the two of you set about unlocking or opening all of these tubes. And then there is a beep from Strix's helmet. Your helmet, does it have, like, a speaker on it, or is it more of, like, a directly to Strix?
I mean, it does have, like, the internal in-helmet speakers, which, if it's off, it is probably loud enough for people to hear, so.
Yeah, you just hear sort of a very muffled, got it, it's all downloaded.
All right. And Strix heads back over, snaps the helmet back on. Well, I think we are done here. So, yeah, time to evacuate.
Sounds good to me. Do you have a spot you want to run to?
I mean, I was just going to fry their system and, you know, let them pick through the rubble, so.
If you can pull up a picture, I can get you all out of here faster.
I should probably meet up with the rest of my team. And also, aren't we supposed to have Ty at some point?
We really are. Oh, God. I think Alexa's stomach grumbles a little bit.
Yeah, see, like, this didn't take any time at all, right?
Cool. Hey, Andy.
Yes?
I'm gonna mark my doom track to use infinite powers and use rift generation to open a rift from the lab down here to the courtyard up there.
All right.
Maybe, like, right outside the Baxter compound, actually, so people can scatter into the streets.
Is this a thing where, like, people would have to willingly walk through it, or is this, like, compulsory?
No, I'm opening a portal and be like, okay, people, let's go. Get out of here. You do not want to be here for the fireworks.
All right. What's Joe's reaction to this? They going through, or...?
Joe is letting literally everybody else go through first, because Joe has trust issues.
Yeah, most of the people are going through without much in the way of resistance.
I think... see Strix walk through it before I will walk through it.
Oh, we're gonna have a face down.
I want to give a little description, because I think the way this is framed is, like, it's sort of a pulled back shot. A lot of the people walking through were, like, drawn in that way where, like, a lot of the details just aren't filled in. They're sort of, like, background characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they filter on through this portal, that leaves Surge, anything you can do, and Strix left alone.
Because last time a portal happened. No, all right. You know what? Yeah, I don't think this is an issue. I think Strix is just going to head through. Job is done here, so.
Yeah, you can see through the other side to where everyone's walking out. So it's
So I don't think this has to be an issue. I think Strix is just going through.
Surge will follow after them.
Hmm. And then Alexa's going to walk over to the edge of the portal. And then I'm going to mark another doom track to use, I don't know, cosmic energies from the Nova playbook to transmute a teeny little bit of the computer over at the far end of the place into antimatter. And then I'm just going to jump through the portal and let it disintegrate because antimatter's explosive. It's going to be big.
Let's cut back to the rest of the team. There's a giant hell beast that used to be Bryant Baxter. How are y'all reacting?
Do I recognize this hell beast or anything about it at all? Like, is it a mystical thing?
It's not like an otherworldly being. It's not something you would have seen in, like, your, trans-dimensional, escapades. It looks sort of like Axel in a way, but way, way bigger. And way, way scarier, and a lot less in control.
Why is everyone turning into me? This sucks.
I don't know, I think it's kind of cool.
A quick check-in. Forgefire, you're scuffling with Blitzkrieg on the ground.
Yeah, so I think what we do is we get like one close-up panel of Blitzkrieg as Forgefire punches him like one last time. And just says, there is greater evil afoot here than you. And Forgefire just stands up and stops fighting. And turns to this new bigger problem. And I think no one else has really made a move towards them yet, right?
Not yet, no.
And then so I think I'm gonna turn to Warlock and just sort of say, now this. This is undeniably the evil we must prevent in the city, and just charge straight into this fight and just hurl myself at this transformed creature.
All right. You want to roll to directly engage that threat for me?
I would. I would also like to do my punch everyone move, or when I charge into a fight without hedging my bets, I can shift up my danger and down one other label. So I'm going to shift up my danger, and I'm going to shift down my... I'm going to shift down my savior. No, I'm going to shift down my superior. And yeah, and then I will roll to directly engage. 15.
Oh,
hell yeah.
I'm now maximum danger. And so I think that the way this looks from my end, at least at the beginning, is like Forgefire like stands up, kind of like brushes his hands off, looks at Warlock, says the line, and then like does like a kind of like a slow jog towards this creature, and then like just like crouches and then just like launches himself, kind of like the way that like Superman in the new Superman movies just sort of like launches himself off is like a bullet, kind of like that, except I don't have a cape or a costume really, and I'm mostly just like a hot stone mess, and I just like hit, I'm gonna just like land in this Baxter creature's like right, like hit him right in the stomach, double fists like forward.
All right, what two are you picking off of the list?
I'm gonna pick Impress, Surprise, or Frighten, and Create an Opportunity for my allies.
What I think happens is you do that. You fly forward, slam your fists into this thing's stomach. And as Forgefire slams his hands into Baxter's stomach, anything you can do? Would you like to describe for me that explosion as you set off the equivalent of a nuke in this compound?
It's not a lot of antimatter. It's just a teeny amount. It's just kind of like, and this is not how antimatter works. This is comic book. Not even an ounce, probably like a half ounce, maybe just a paperclip size.
Particles.
don't need a little goes a long way with antimatter. But yeah, no, it's like a fear expands from underneath the building that just completely inverts the color of everything it's touching and probably expands to be like, I don't know how big the courtyard is, but I'm going to say at least like 100 or 200 feet away from the building. And then all that just collapses inwards and vanishes. And there's just a huge vacuum where all of that matter was. And then presumably the top of the building that is now severed falls to the ground.
All right. So, yeah, I think what happens is like the large part of this building is going to fall and land on top of Baxter and Forgefire as the two of you have started fighting. Forgefire, would you like to take a powerful blow for me as about half of a building just fell on you?
Yeah. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
Can I roll again? Trying to mark conditions here. I rolled a 5.
I'll get you some conditions, I promise.
I rolled a 5, so unfortunately I stand strong. And I mark potential.
Yeah, describe for me, how do you come out of this rubble? What's that look like?
Remind me, how big is Baxter currently?
He's like not quite kaiju size. He's like demi kaiju.
Okay. So yeah, I imagine that I've like hurled myself into like his chest. And this building just like does the explosion and crumbles. And so the two of us have all of this building on top. And I think we just like, there's a moment where there's like steam or there's all the like dust and rubble and stuff. And then there's like one pile of rubble from this building just starts to like get fuzzy and like the heat waves around it. And then the stone and metal and stuff that the building was made of like literally just melts. And Forgefire stands up in the middle of this rubble, basically unfazed.
Yeah, Forgefire manages to make his way through the building or what's left of it. The rubble we see sort of like shake and jostle as it falls away, and this beast that was Bryant Baxter stands up, looking none the worse for wear. Let's see.
I did make an opportunity at some point for someone to.
Oh, yes, you are right. So yeah, I think we like notice his attention is squarely on Forgefire, and I think I want to give a chance for somebody on the team to make some sort of action. Like, who wants to do a thing here? Who's got an idea?
If I may jump in, I've got an idea. The building you pulled down, I'm sorry, was that part of the mech building?
No, that was a...
But he's out of the mech building. What has happened to that?
It is currently unoccupied as far as like the upper level goes. There's still
all of our friends are out of it though, right?
Yes. All that's left inside are presumably innocent civilians.
Eh.
Okay.
It's like 12:30.
Are you a bad enough dude to eat a building? I either want to back up Forgefire or eat the mech building.
Can I help make that decision for you?
Yes.
Okay, so Amber is mad at Vaporwave, and I think she notices Technovore eyeing the building hungrily with his like one light eye thing. And question about like past stuff, because when we got the like flash drive or whatever to find out about this place, you had like plugged it in through like a USB port or whatever. Would Amber know that if you eat tech, you can also just kind of like download information from it?
Yeah, I think we've established that that's like a thing he can do. The question becomes which part of Technovore is in control. And that is like, as he grows bigger and bigger and bigger, the weird alien battery that makes up a lot of his inside just like wants to be sustained. As like he may have that information, but it's how much can he use it is the difficult part, I feel. But I don't think it's something that like he loses when he comes back down, because like, he does have to, he can't sustain his bigger forms for super long unless he is getting constant energy in infusions. So like he has to like burst that energy out of him in a lot of ways and then return to his lower forms. But I don't think he loses information gained that way because it doesn't work the same.
Okay. So, Amber's going to just kind of push Vaporwave away and point at the head of the mech building and say, Technovore, there's information we need in those computers. Go eat it.
Okay. And Technovore just, there is like, the tongue rolls out again and there is a scream that comes out of him that sounds like when like, it's like sound artifacting in a computer. If anyone is familiar with like, a lot of the editors here probably are, of like when things just get all like choppy and screechy and stretched, is what comes out of his mouth. And it's not so much that he like moves in that direction as like something cracks and splits and his neck extends and like his head goes up and eats it.
What changes overcome Technovore as you eat the head of this building?
So, you know how you described in the past, the previous time I ate the power pack, that it felt like there was a tiny explosion inside of him, and it felt like food poisoning?
Mm-hmm.
So, Technovore, like, eats the head and gulps it down, and, like, his neck is, like, really elongated, like, almost as long as his main body. And he drops down, and there is, like, a groan, as there's, like, a boof, boof, and explosions, like, rumble in his stomach. And then right where his rib cage is, underneath both arms, just gets blown outward. And it is like oil and blood and cables and a rebar. And then all of that reforms into two more arms. And he now has four arms and two legs, but his body is so big and his neck is so heavy that he is now not standing. He is like hexapedal.
So I think we get a splash panel of the giant new form of Technovore and the giant form of Bryant Baxter, with the other heroes, various shell agents, Baxter bots, small mechs, all sorts of people and things surrounding them. And that's our last panel of this issue.
If you liked what you heard, the best way to let us know is on Twitter at TTRPGRoulette.
Or leaving us a review on your podcatcher of choice.
If you do leave us a review, let us know so we can give you a shout-out in a future episode.
You can also support us financially on Patreon at patreon.com/TTRPGRoulette.
There, you can get access to bonus content such as character creation episodes, blooper reels, an art gallery, and much more.
Our music was created by Neil Martin, who you can find on Twitter at BardicMartin.
Our logo was created by Lee, who you can find on Twitter at The Law of Names or on his Masks AP, Otherwhere.
We want to give a very special shout out to our patrons, including Landon Cornell, MC of Shadows of St. Fleur, Reed, Dusty, Silva, Vanessa Haas, Zeke, Gnome, and Daniel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monster Hour, an actual play podcast about going to school, arguing with your parents, and ruining your favorite outfit while hunting horrible monsters. Narrative-driven and crisply edited with painfully relatable characters, Monster Hour follows unlikely heroes JR.
Super suspicious. That's sort of my deal.
Constance.
I may be a bit of a know-it-all, but I might actually know it all.
And Alvin.
I'm monstrous.
As they unravel the sinister mysteries of a strange Colorado town. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, Buffy, or The Adventure Zone Amnesty, you'll love Monster Hour. Tune in for new episodes every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.